Part 3. In this part, you will hear three short segments from a radio program. The program is called Learning from the Experts. You will hear what three different radio guests have to say about three different topics. Each talk lasts about 3 minutes. As you listen, you may want to take some notes to help you remember information given in the talk. Write your notes in this test booklet. After each talk, you will be asked some questions about what was said. From the three answer choices given, you should choose the one that best answers the question according to the information you heard. Remember, no problems can be repeated. For problems 36 through 50, mark all your answers on the separate answer sheet. Do you have any questions? Now, you will hear the first segment.
Everyone feels anxious sometimes, but for some people, anxiety can be a debilitating and traumatic disorder. We spoke with Beth Cargill, head of Berkeley's Center for Mental Health, about anxiety, what it is, and how to treat it. Tom Burnett has a story.
Could you please define anxiety for our audience? From a clinical standpoint, what is it?
Anxiety is a natural emotional state that we all experience when we're faced with a perceived threat or danger. It's important to differentiate between fear and anxiety. Anxiety is an emotional state we experience in anticipation of an upcoming threat, like a student about to take a high-pressure exam. Whereas fear is more of an immediate sense of fight or flight, where the need to escape from danger is imminent.
My understanding is there's actually some brain science to differentiate between the two.
Yes, there is some clear differentiation at the neurological level. With fear, the amygdala is stimulated, which is the emotional center of the brain. Whereas with anxiety, more of the cortical areas are activated. These are areas more associated with thinking and verbal processing, as well as the hippocampus.
So if anxiety is normal, when does it become a disorder?
With anxiety disorders, we typically think of three response systems. There's the physiological response system, the cognitive response system, and the behavioral response system. So for example, let's say someone has a phobia of dogs. The physiological response would be that fight-or-flight fear response I mentioned earlier. The cognitive response might be the thought, I'm about to be attacked. And the behavioral urge would be to escape. You need all three for it to be classified as a disorder. And this is true for all kinds of anxiety disorders.
But the intensity of these disorders can differ.
Sure. A good example is agoraphobia, which a lot of people think of as fear of going outside. But it's actually fear of being in places where it's hard to escape. Agoraphobes often have panic attacks when they're outside. Some agoraphobes anticipate this panic so intently that it causes them to shut themselves up inside and never venture out. Others can experience the same level of panic, but they still go outside and do what they need to do.
Even though they can experience panic attacks when they're outside.
Both groups can be triggered to the same level of panic. But for one group, the anxiety is much greater. The anticipation of panic practically immobilizes them, so they can't leave the house.
Is there anything that helps predict why some people become more agoraphobic than others?
As far as we know, for agoraphobia, there are two main predictors. One is gender. Females are more likely to become immobilized than males. The other is occupational status. People who have jobs are less likely to become agoraphobic than people who are unemployed. So this leads us to conclude that the degree of agoraphobia has more to do with socio-cultural circumstances, that is, people who have socio-cultural circumstances that allow them to avoid going outside are more likely to become more agoraphobic than people who are forced to face the world.
So anxiety is not entirely a medical phenomenon.
Not at all. Like I said, there are physiological, cognitive, and behavioral response systems that all get triggered. And it can be very difficult to untangle them all. Obviously, you can usually treat the physiological symptoms with medication. But if you're not simultaneously addressing the cognitive and behavioral dimensions of the disorder, there's a good chance the medication on its own won't work. And I think most people who treat anxiety disorders understand this and try to approach treatment in a multifaceted way. But you're absolutely right. You can't treat it merely as a medical condition. It's more complicated than that.